So today is Lord Ramchandra's appearance day, Shri Shri Ram Navami. Therefore, we will read from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Ramchandra's activities have been described. In the 11th chapter of the 9th canto, this chapter is entitled as Lord Ramchandra Rules the World. And on the 23rd verse, there is a beautiful glorification of Lord Ramchandra and his pastime. So that's the verse that we are going to discuss today. Purusho. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narration concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastime will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activity. Please repeat after me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. As long as one is not completely free from the cause of birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatana Dharma or the eternal pastimes of the Lord. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designation of the body. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body, and therefore he is completely on the transcendental platform. A devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy, because the devotee knows that the Lord is his supreme protector. He thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? Thus, a devotee is confident about his protection. The Lord says, Je jatha mam sopadante, tang kathaiva bhajam maham. According to the proportion of one surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. A devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnava aparad. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting Shravanam Kirtanam is certainly free from the disease of envy. And thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manodhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padapamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shicham Shri Rupam Shatra Jatam Shahabanam Ratunathanitam Tvam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shahabhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Shahabanam Lalita Sri Vishakam Tvam Sajivam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Manaskute Saptukanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranam Mamu Hari.
Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthani Nana Vatara Mapadar Bhubaneshu Kimi Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramurti Manjo Govinda Madhu Dibhushan Tamaham Hajani Vanchakalpa Tarubhashcha Kripashim Dukhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanubho Vaishnavibho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashari Bhoga Pantatuma Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Purusha Rama Charitam Shravanair Upadharayan Anrishamsa Paro Rajan Karma Bandhai Vimuchyate. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narration concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastime will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activity. So, here it has been described the effect, the wonderful effect of hearing about the Lord's pastime. Purusha Ramo Charitoi. The Charitoi means characteristics, the characteristics of Ramachandra. And when one hears about the characteristics or activities of Ramachandra, then karma bandhai vimuchyate, he becomes free from his karma bandha. Karma bandha means his material bondage, the bondage of his karmic reaction. Somewhere else in Srimad Bhagavatam also, the same point has been made. Srinnatam shapatha Krishna. At the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this point has been made. Just by hearing Krishna Katha, the activities of Sri Krishna, hearing about the characteristics of Sri Krishna, Punna Shravana Kirtana, that hearing and chanting is actually the greatest auspicious activity. And why? Because Riddhantastva Bhadrani Bidhunati Suritsana. Because the impurities in the heart become immediately eradicated just by hearing the activities of the Supreme Personality of God. And that point has been made about Krishna Katha. And here the description is about Ramacharitam. But actually Krishna Katha and Ramacharitam, there is no difference, because Ram and Krishna are non-different. Sri Ramchandra is Krishna himself. In Dwarka, Krishna resides as Chatur Guha. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So this Chatur Guha has again expanded in the topmost region of Vaikuntha in Ayodhya. As Ram, Sri Ramchandra, Vasudev is Ramchandra, Shankarshan is Lakshman, Pradyumna is Bharat, and Aniruddha is Shatrughna. So Krishna of Vrindavan expanded himself in Dwarka. To be precise, it is Balaram actually expanded himself in Dwarka. Krishna's first expansion in Vrindavan is Balaram. And Balaram expands as Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha of Dwarka. And that Chatur Guha, the the quadruple expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, further expands as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. And Lord Ramchandra appeared to establish the principle of the scriptures. That is called Marjada. Marjada means etiquette, the way of conduct, how one should behave. And that has been perfectly established by Lord Ramchandra. The responsibility of establishing the Vedic principles are actually with the kings and monarchs. The Brahmanas do not actually establish the principles of the Vedas. The Brahmanas teach, but the ultimate consideration of establishing and confirming that everyone is abiding by the laws of the scriptures, the injunctions of the scriptures, lies with the king. So Lord Ramchandra came as an ideal king. And as an ideal king, Lord Ramchandra, through his own activities, established the principles of dharma. He taught everyone how one must act. Therefore, Lord Ramchandra is considered to be the most ideal king. And the condition that the world had at the time of Lord Ramchandra's presence on this planet is considered to be the most perfect condition, called Ram Rajya. The rule, the reign of Sri Ramchandra. And it has been also established in Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Ramchandra appeared in Treta Yuga. But when Lord Ramchandra was ruling, then the condition of the world became just like in Satya Yuga. Actually, in Satya Yuga, the dharma is perfectly situated. Dharma stands on four legs. Satya, Saucha, Tapo, and Daya. So truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy. So dharma stands on these four legs. And dharma was perfectly standing. Dharma was perfectly situated at the time of Lord Ramchandra's reign. Because Lord Ramchandra made it a point that everybody must abide by the principles of the Vedas. And he himself established the principle by acting himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also established the principle of dharma, acting himself in the most perfect way. Aponi Achari Prabhu Jivere Shikhai. The Lord teaches by his own example. If the king gives all the advice and instruction but do not abide by them themselves, then naturally people will not follow. They may follow out of fear for some time, but internally they will not accept. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shriman Mahaprabhu Shakti Vrinda Ki Jai. So when Lord Ramchandra came to establish the principles of dharma as a king, he did it by acting as a perfect king. And what is the role of a perfect king? What is the responsibility of a perfect king, an ideal king? The responsibility of an ideal king is to act as a representative of the Supreme Personality of God. Act as a servant of the Supreme Personality of God. A king, although he has the power, although he has all the facilities to enjoy, but the king acts as a servant. He never considers himself to be a master, or should not consider himself to be a master. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he didn't act as the Supreme Personality of God. He simply acted as a devotee, as a sannyasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted as a perfect sannyasi. He acted as a perfect devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the standard for a devotee. How a devotee must act, how a sannyasi must act, has been established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, Lord Ramchandra acted as an ideal king. He, for the entire world, he established the example, the standard of an ideal king. So whenever there is a king, he must follow the ideal of Lord Ramchandra, or the ideal example of Lord Ramchandra. And therefore, Lord Ramchandra has been considered as the Marjada Purushottam. Marjada Purushottam, Purushottam, Purusha means the person. And Uttama means the supreme. So he is the supreme personality, or the supreme personality of Godhead, who came to establish Marjada, who came to establish the principles of dharma. And principle of dharma means the injunction of the Vedas as it has been directed by the brahmanas, or the saintly class of people. So Ramchandra sat at the feet, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he sat at the feet of the brahmanas. The guru of their family was Vasishtha. So he was taking the instructions of Vasishtha all the time and acting according to his instructions. And he was extremely respectful towards the devotees and saintly personalities. And how Lord Ramchandra's activities are ideal or exemplary, we can see that from his own behavior. Lord Ramchandra, a Kshatriya king, first of all, has to be extremely powerful and at the same time submissive to the brahmanas, the sages. So when Ramchandra was 14 years old, Vishwamitra came to his father's palace, Dasaratha's palace. And Vishwamitra told that the place where he was performing yajnas, the brahmanas actually stay at a remote place in a forest on the bank of some river, and they make that place into a very beautiful place for performing austerities and spiritual activities. Those places are called tapovan. They are like a garden in the middle of a forest on the bank of a river. So there was a great demon called Taraka, demoness, who was causing all kinds of disturbances to their activities of the sage. So Vishwamitra came and told Dasharatha that he wanted the help of Ram to kill that terrible demon, Taraka. So Dasharatha, like an affectionate father, he was reluctant. First of all, he was very worried because he knew the Taraka was a terrible demon. And his son was only 14 years old. So he told that, look, this son is just, this boy is only 14 years old. So why don't I go with my army and I will kill the demon? But Vishwamitra, he knew who Ramchandra was. So in order to reveal the identity of Lord Ramchandra, Vishwamitra insisted, no, I want him, I want your son, I don't want you. So Dasharatha became very worried. But Ramchandra told his father, father, don't worry. He is a great sage with a very wonderful mystic power. He is a very, very powerful mystic yogi. So since he is not wanting me to help him, it is our duty to follow his instruction. Especially he is a brahmana. And besides that, as he is a great mystic yogi, he will actually bless me and he will empower me. So there is nothing to worry about. He will protect me. So in this way, Lord Ramchandra advised his father. And Dasharatha ultimately agreed. And Lord Ramchandra went and killed Taraka Rakshasi, the demoness Taraka. Vishwamitra already had the understanding that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who incarnated as the son of King Dasharatha. And Vishwamitra also knew that Sita Devi or Lakshmi Devi already appeared. So when the Lord appears, his consort also appears to participate in his pastime. So he wanted to unite the Lord with his eternal consort. So he took Lord Ramchandra to Mithila, to the palace of King Janaka, to be married to Sita Devi. And when he took Ram, Sita actually had a condition, Janak laid a condition that Sita can be married, or the person, anyone who can claim, who can string the bow of Lord Shiva can get the hand of Sita. And that was also because Janak had that understanding that Sita Devi was Lakshmi Devi herself, the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be wedded to Sita Devi. Actually these are eternal associates of the Supreme Lord, like Janak is the eternal father of Sita Devi. So naturally he knew the identity of Lord Ramachandra. But the pastimes are like dramas set in a perfect way, so that when whoever observes it, he feels great excitement seeing it. In a drama, the end of the drama is never revealed. One is, if you want to appreciate a drama, it has been advised that you don't find out what happened at the end. You leave it for the director to present, or the dramatist to present. Because if you know the end, then you lose the charm of the drama. So one must go along according to the natural progression of the drama. Similarly, the Lord's pastime, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but generally he doesn't allow one to realize that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He actually acts as an ordinary person. And by acting in such a way, he gives tremendous joy to the hearts of his devotees. Itidriksha lilahin ananda kunde shaghosham nimajjantam akhappayam. What is the purpose of the leelas, the pastime? The purpose of the pastimes of the leela is to submerge the devotees in an ocean of ecstasy. So, in Lord Ramchandra's pastimes also we can see that it's an extremely exciting, to watch the way it progresses. So, Sita's identity was also known by others, because in Janak's palace there was this bow of Lord Shiva. And bow of Lord Shiva is such a mighty bow that unless the person is equal to Lord Shiva or above Lord Shiva, he won't be able to lift it. But when Sita was a little child, Sita picked up the bow and she was riding the bow as a riding horse. Like the children, they ride horses. So Sita sat on the bow and she was swinging. So everyone got very surprised that who is this child? She so easily picked up Shiva's bow. So she must be superior to Lord Shiva. So whose position is superior to Lord Shiva's position? Lakshmi Devi. So in this way, they could recognize who this Sita Devi was. So Janak made it a point that Sita should be given only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is the rightful owner of that personality. And Janak knew that the Lord must have appeared, Lord must have taken birth somewhere. And Vishwamitra therefore brought Lord Ramchandra to Sita. And Lord Ramchandra not only stringed the bow, but after stringing the bow, when he pulled the string, the bow broke. So this is the prowess. Like nobody else actually could lift it. They couldn't even lift the bow, it was so heavy. But Lord Ramchandra not only lifted it, not only strung it, but he broke it. But at that time, there was another incarnation present of the Lord, that is Parashuram. And this also, in order to make the world recognize the position of Lord Ramchandra, Parshuram also played his role. Parshuram immediately came there. Parshuram apparently was initiated by Lord Shiva. So there was, Lord Ramchandra has offended his spiritual master. So Parshuram challenged. And Parshuram apparently was already very negative or very angry with the Kshatriyas. Already 21 times he wiped out the Kshatriyas from the surface of this earth. So Parshuram came there and he challenged Ramchandra. He said, you dare to break Lord Shiva's bow? So okay, so you string my bow. And I challenge you to a fight. And it is said that when Lord Ramchandra took the bow from Parshuram's hand, Lord Ramchandra took away the shakti, the power that was invested onto Parshuram. Parashuram is the Shaktavesh avatar. He is a potency incarnation. The Lord invested his potency in him. But the original personality of Godhead is Ramchandra and Krishna. So he took away the potency from Parashuram. And in this way, Parashuram was defeated by Lord Ramchandra. Actually, they all, as I said, like they all play their part. They play their role most perfectly. So Parshuram played the role Chandra. And Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that way, Lord Ramchandra again is an incarnation of Krishna Chandra. Therefore, Brahma Samhita describes Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtham Nana Avatara Makoroj Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramuktimanyu. Ram Adi, Ram etc. The word Adi means etc. The incarnations like Lord Ram are the parts and parts of the parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Krishna is the original personality of God. Govinda, Adi Purusha. The Adi Purusha, the original personality of Godhead is Krishna. So, in this way, Lord Ramchandra was united with Sita Devi by breaking the Haradhana. And Janaka had three other, Janaka's brother Kushadhaj had three other daughters and they were married to the other brothers. So just as Lord Ramchandra expanded, Vasudev expanded as Ramchandra, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha also expanded as Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna. And now they also were married to their eternal consort. And Ramchandra, when he came back to the capital, everyone was so excited, especially his father, getting to know that his 14-year-old son has killed the demon in Taruka, who used to cause fear in the heart of the demigod. So he became very, very proud of his son, and he decided to arrange for the coronation of Lord Ramchandra as the crown prince. So when the arrangement was being made for Lord Ramchandra's coronation, due to the provocation of Manthara, Kaikeyi, another wife of Dasarath, the mother of Bharat, became envious. And here again, we, as I mentioned earlier, we must remember that this is the perfect drama. And all the elements that are there in drama are there in the pastimes of the Lord. Tamalkrishna Maharaj analyzed the Vedic drama from Natyashastra in the first part of his Jagannath Kriya Natakam. Those of you who have read that, you know, that the drama has certain elements. Those elements must be there. Like as there is a hero, then there must be a villain. Just as black and white, the hero is painted in white and the villain is painted in black. So that the white of the hero stands out. Similarly, there must be certain mellows. All the 12 mellows must be present. If not all, but the compatible mellows must be there. Like the 5 principal mellows and 7 secondary mellows. So the secondary mellow is, one of the secondary mellow is korun, means pathos. So in order to make a perfect drama, the pathos must be there. And the pathos here was enhanced. Like Lord Ramchandra, when he was just about to be coronated, then Kaikeyi approached Dasarath and said, "The king, do you remember? You gave me 2 boons. And you wanted me to ask for anything I wanted." That happened when Dasarath was fighting against the demon, siding with the demigod, he was very much, very badly injured. Dasarath was such a powerful warrior that the demigods used to invite him to fight for them against the demons. So in that fight against the demons, Dasarath became wounded, and Kaikeyi nursed Dasarath. And Dasarath was so pleased after being cured due to her nursing that Dasarath told Kaikeyi, "Kaikeyi, you ask anything you want. Ask for anything. I want to give you two boons." Kaikeyi said, "My lord, you gave me everything. I do not want anything else." Dasarath said, "Okay, in future if you need anything, you let me know." So Kaikeyi, due to the provocation of Manthara. Now let me describe Manthara, as I said, perfect drama. Like the characters of the drama must be there. Like Manthara is a hunchback. She's a very ugly looking hunchback woman. Just as ugly her features were, her inside also was equally ugly, if not more. And that ugly Manthara provoked Kaikeyi. Said, "Look, your Dasarath is coronating Ram, and now Kaushalya, Ram's mother, will get all the attention, and everyone will be glorifying Ram and Kaushalya. And you don't have any place. No one will even give a damn about you and your son, Bharat." So Kaikeyi, who was very fond of Ram, says, "What are you speaking about? What are you saying, Manthara? Ram is like my son, like my own son. And actually, if I go deep into my heart, then I can see that my affection for Ram is even greater than Bharat. And Ram also treats me with so much respect." But Manthara kept on poisoning. And finally, Kaikeyi's heart hardened and became contaminated due to that influence. And Kaikeyi started to believe what Manthara was saying. And Kaikeyi went and approached Dasarath and told Dasarath that this is what she wanted. So when she approached Dasarath, Dasarath said, "Yes, I remember those two boons that I wanted to give you. Tell me what you want." And Kaikeyi said, "The first boon I want is that my son, Bharat, should be coronated to the throne. And my second boon is that Ram should be banished for 14 years. So Dasarath, he felt as if he had been struck by a thunderbolt. And he appealed to Kaikeyi, "Kaikeyi, are you serious? Do you really need it?" And Kaikeyi, the hard-hearted woman, said, "Yes, I do. And I want my son to become coronated as the crown prince and let Ram go to the forest for 14 years." Then Dasarath actually fainted. Ram got the news that his father was sick. So he came running, asked his father what happened. So father didn't want to tell him. But then he got to know what happened. Then Ram said, "Fine. Like, if Kaikeyi wants Bharat to be the king, fine, that's wonderful, let him be the king." Unfortunately, Bharat was not there at that time. Bharat was in his uncle's house, his mother's brother's house. And Ram said, "I will go to the forest." Dasarath said, "No, you shouldn't do that." But Ram said, "No, father, you must keep to your commitment. You should never break your vow." So in order to keep the commitment of his father, Ram forgo his claim to the kingdom and decided to go to the forest. And when Ram was leaving, then Lakshman also wanted to follow him. Because Ram and Lakshman are very close. You can well imagine Krishna and Balaram. They are right? All the time they are together. And Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi also wanted to go with her eternal consort, eternal husband, Sri Ramchandra. So when three of them were leaving the palace, they were leaving the city, going to the forest, then Dasharatha was crying out, calling the names of Lord Ramchandra, and calling out the name of Ram, Dasharatha left his body. So then Lord Ramchandra went to the forest, although his father was calling him from behind, he didn't stop. This is how he established that how a king or a leader of mankind must be very truthful. So he established Satya, the principle of Satya, truthfulness. And he went to the forest. For 10 years he roamed around in the forest. And it was actually very nice for them because they went to different forests where all the sages were. And who are those sages in Treta Yuga? Those sages are actually the devotees of the Lord. So the Lord was, he came to Paritrana Sadhuna. So in the under the pretext of exile, Ram was actually giving his association to his devotees in the forest. And in this way, the Lord was experiencing his transcendental bliss with his devotees in the forest. And then Lord Ramchandra moved from one ashram to another. Most of the time he actually stayed in a place called Chitrakoot. And then he came to Dandakaranya. And when he came to Dandakaranya, in Dandakaranya there was this demon, Rakshasi, Surpanakha, the sister of Ravana. Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan were three brothers and the sister was Surpanakha. So Surpanakha, when she saw Ramchandra, she was a widow actually. Her husband died in a battle against the demigod. And Ravan, in order to make her feel good, gave her an entire forest and two generals with their full army, Har and Bhushan. The full army was actually taking care of her under the two very powerful generals of Ravan. And in this Dandakaranya, they were creating a lot of disturbance. So Lord Ramchandra came, and when Surpanakha saw Ramchandra, she was afflicted by lust, seeing the beautiful form of Lord Ramchandra. And Surpanakha then approached Ramchandra for marriage, offered herself to him. So Ram declined. There's also some very nice exchanges with Ram and Surpanakha at that time. Ram said, look, I am married, my wife is here, so I can't marry you. But my brother is young, so why don't you approach him? And he's alone. So this way there were some very funny exchanges. As I said, like another mellow of drama is called Harsha. Hasya means humor. So this also was perfectly established. A beautiful humor also is there in Lord Ramchandra's pastime. So then Lord Ramchandra, then Surpanakha considered that it was because of Sita that she can't get Ram. She didn't know who Ram was. She thought it's just a human being. And this human being is married to this lady who is also very beautiful. Incidentally, Surpanakha actually came in a very beautiful form because this demoness, the demons and demonesses have the mystic power. They can even transform themselves into various other forms. Just as Putana came as a very beautiful woman, Surpanakha also approached Ram as a very beautiful woman. So, but when she didn't succeed, then she took her original form. And she went to devour Sita. She wanted to eat Sita. So then, on Ram's order, Lakshman just pulled out the sword and chopped the nose and the ears of Surpanakha. And Surpanakha, she reported to her brother. Surpanakha reported first to the generals. Khaur and Dushan, with the full army, came to fight with Ram and Lakshman. Just two mortal beings, human beings. But the entire army was wiped out, including Khaur and Dushan, the generals of the army. Then Surpanakha went and appealed to Ravan. Ravan first didn't want to pay any heed. He said, well, that's your business, don't disturb me. I have other important things to take care of. But then Surpanakha knew her brother quite well, how lusty he was. So she said, you know, Ram's wife is the most beautiful creature. And you don't have to do anything to Ram. You just steal his wife for your enjoyment. And Ram is so attached to her that if she is stolen from him, then he will die. So Ravan thought it's a good proposal. So he went, and I'm sure you all know what the story is like. I'll just go fast. So Ravan came as a sannyasi, as a traveling, as a paribrajak, and he came along with a magician demon, Marichi. So Marichi actually took the form of a golden deer, and this way this deer enticed Sita, and Sita wanted that deer. Ram told that, look, this is a mayavi, this is an illusory, must be some demon is trying to play some trick. But Sita kept on insisting, no, please get the deer from me, please get the deer from me. So then Ram left to get the deer and told Lakshman to guard Sita. And then after chasing the deer for a while, Ram shoot the deer, and the deer, Marichi, that mayavi, when he was about to die, he called out the name to Lakshman and Sita, imitating the voice of Ram. And Sita, when she heard, she became very, very much worried, and she kept on appealing to Lakshman, Lakshman, please go and save your brother, help your brother, he needs your help. Lakshman didn't want to leave Sita alone, but then finally Sita kept on insulting Lakshman. So then Lakshman left, but drew a line, a circle, and told her that don't step out of the circle. You'll be protected as long as you are within the circle. So as soon as Lakshman left, Ravana came in the disguise of a paribrajak sannyasi, and he stole Sita away. When he was sitting, and Ravan had a flying chariot. He had a flying chariot called Pushpakra. He had it, that's also another thing, like Ravan's other brother, his stepbrother is Kuvera. Kuvera's capital was Lanka before. And Kuvera was extremely rich. And Ravan, after attaining this power from Brahma, due to the boon of Brahma, Ravan became very powerful, and he drove his brother Kuvera from his kingdom, Lanka. And he took over the kingdom, and this chariot was actually Kuvera's chariot. So he started, and he also took the chariot. So he came flying on the chariot, and he stole Sita. And when he was flying, Sita was crying for help. So Jatayu, a celestial bird, who was also a friend of Dasarath and a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. He tried to stop Ravana. And there was a big fight on the air between Ravana and this bird. And finally Ravana cut the wings of that bird. And Jatayu fell on the ground, calling out the names of Ram. And then when Sita saw that there was no hope, so she saw some monkeys on top of Vishwamukh mountain. So she took out her ornaments and threw them down so that they could report to Ram if Ram came looking for her. In the meantime, Ram, when he came, Ram and Lakshman came back to the ashram, couldn't find Sita. They became very much worried and very much afflicted. Ram, like a ordinary human being, was crying for Sita Devi, his wife. And when they were looking for Sita, they came across a kavan, a kind of a subtle creature, ghost-like creature, that do not have head. Their eyes are placed on their chest. So this Kavandha was actually a Gandharva. He was cursed to be a Kavandha. And the condition was that if the Lord comes and kills him, then he'll be delivered. So Kavandha attacked Ram and Lakshman, and there was a terrible fight. And finally, Ram killed the Kavandha, and the Kavandha was delivered. He regained his form as a Gandharva, and he informed Ram to go to Rishamukh mountain, and the monkeys there, headed by Sugriv, will help him. So Ram went, and Sugriv was a very powerful monkey, and he was actually driven out of the kingdom by his brother Bali, and took away his wife Tara. So Sugriv appealed to Ram for his help to regain his kingdom. Anyway, so Ram actually killed Bali and established Sugriv as the king of the monkeys, and then with the help of the monkeys he built a bridge across the ocean and went to Lanka. He killed Ravan with his entire family, rescued Sita. So when Sita was rescued, Ram wanted to test Sita, because as an ideal king, he wanted to make sure that the queen is spotless. So Sita was put into a test called fire test, where she had to enter into fire. And the condition was that if she is sinless, if she is spotless, then she will come out without being burnt. And actually, when Sita entered into fire, then the illusory Sita that Ravan stole, disappeared in the fire, and the Agnidev came with the original Sita. Actually, when Ravan came to steal Sita, then Sita took shelter of fire god, Agni. And Agnidev came and took away original Sita, and in her place there was Maya Sita, the illusory Sita. And that illusory Sita was stolen by Ravan. And in this way also it has been established in the scriptures that the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be touched by any demon, cannot be touched by anyone but the Lord Himself. So it was Maya Sita, and Srila Prabhupada also explains that point, that Sita is Lakshmi. Lakshmi is wealth, opulence. The opulence originally meant for, opulence is originally meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pleasure. But when somebody tries to take the opulence, the wealth, which is actually meant for the Lord's pleasure, Lord's service, and tries to use it for his enjoyment, then that becomes Maya. That's not Lakshmi.
that mind.
So in this way, Ravan is a perfect example of a materialistic person who tries to steal the wealth of the Lord for their enjoyment. But what they get, they do not get an object of enjoyment. They get only illusion, and that illusion, instead of giving them pleasure and joy, simply causes them to suffer. So Ravana is an example. He tried to enjoy Sita, and as a result of that, what happened? His entire family, he was destroyed with his entire family. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes care of the demoniac people. So Ramchandra came back to his kingdom. In the meantime, 14 years were over, and when he came back, Bharat, he was such a wonderful example of an ideal brother, that all this while Bharat was not ruling the kingdom as a king. He actually placed Ramchandra's shoes on the throne, and as a representative of Lord Ramchandra, he was taking care of the kingdom. And he was living his life like an ascetic. He didn't shave his head, he didn't comb his hair. So his hair became matted for these 14 years. And what did he eat for all these 14 years? Just some barley boiled in water. That's all he ate. He didn't sleep on a bed, he slept on the floor. And what did he wear? He was wearing the bark of a tree, So for 14 years, Bharat was waiting for the return of Lord Ramchandra. So when Lord Ramchandra came back, he offered his kingdom back to him. So in this way, the Lord, along with his eternal associates, established the principle of dharma as Lord Ramchandra. Today is Lord Ramchandra's appearance day. So let us all take opportunity of remembering the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, remember the teachings of Lord Ramchandra, and try to mold our lives according to those wonderful examples of Lord Ramchandra. Shri Ramachandra ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Ram Navami ki, Shri Shri Radha Madhava ki, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivachari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Panchatatra ki, Shakhi Vrinda ki, Prahlad Nrisimha Deva ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande.